Understanding aggregate supply. What do we mean by aggregate supply? Aggregate supply, as measures the volume of goods and services produced within the economy at a given price level. In simple terms, as represents the ability of an economy to deliver goods and services either in the short term or in the long term. The nature of this relationship will differ between the long run and the short run. 1. Short-run aggregate supply, SRAS, shows total planned output when prices in the economy can change, but the prices and productivity of all factor inputs, for instance wage rates and the state of technology, are held constant. 2. Long-run aggregate supply, LRAS. LRAS shows total planned output when both prices and average wage rates can change. It is a measure of a country's potential output and the concept is linked to the production possibility frontier. In the long run, the LRAS curve is assumed to be vertical, that is, it does not change when the general price level changes. In the short run, the SRAS curve is assumed to be upward sloping, that is, it is responsive to a change in aggregate demand reflected in a change in the general price level. The short-runner's curve is upward sloping, because higher prices for goods and services make output more profitable, and enable businesses to expand their production, by hiring less productive labor and other resources. A change in the price level brought about by a shift in AD results in a movement along the short-runner's curve. If AD rises, we see an expansion of SRAS. If demand falls, we see a contraction of SRAS. The slope of SRAS curve depends on the degree of spare capacity in the economy. 1. Negative output gap. At low levels of real national income where actual GDP, the SRAS curve is elastic. In the diagram, this might be a movement from Y1 to Y2. 2. Positive output gap. As national output expands, and the economy heads towards full capacity, producers may find it harder to raise production. Workers may require payment of overtime and bonuses, to work longer hours and increase GDP, so SRAS becomes inelastic, for instance shown from the movement between Y2 and YFC, where YFC is drawn as a full capacity level of national output. 3. Diminishing returns. As national output expands, older, less productive machinery may be used, and less efficient workers hired. 4. Full capacity output at LRAS. Eventually, the economy cannot increase the volume of output further in the short term. At this point, SRAS is perfectly inelastic at YFC. The economy has reached full capacity, the LRAS curve. Short-run aggregate supply is inelastic here. A rise in AD will have more of an effect on the general price level than it will on the volume of real national output. Short-run aggregate supply is elastic here, because there is plenty of spare productive capacity, that is, the output gap will be negative. A rise in AD will lead easily to an expansion of real national output. Shifts in short-run aggregate supply, SRAS. The main cause of a shift in the short-run aggregate supply curve is a change in business costs, for example. 1. Changes in unit labor costs. Unit labor costs are wage costs adjusted for the level of productivity. For example, the rise in unit labor costs might be brought about by firms paying higher wages or a fall in the level of productivity. If unit wage costs rise, this will feed through into higher prices. This is known as cost push inflation. 2. Commodity prices. Changes to raw material costs and other components, for instance the world prices of oil, copper, rubber, iron ore, aluminium and other inputs, will affect a firm's costs. 3. exchange rates. Costs might be affected by a change in the exchange rate, which causes fluctuations in the prices of imported products. A fall, depreciation, in the exchange rate increases the costs of importing raw materials and component supplies from overseas. 4. Government taxation and subsidies. Changes to taxes and subsidies have effects on the costs of producers. For example, an increase in taxes to meet environmental objectives will cause higher costs and an inward shift in the SRAS curve. Conversely, a reduction in duty on petrol and diesel would lower costs and cause an outward shift in SRAS. 5. The price of imports. An increased availability of cheaper imports from a lower cost country has the effect of shifting out SRAS. In a similar fashion, a reduction in a tariff on imports or an increase in the size of an import quota will also boost the supply available at each price level. The exchange rate affects how much a business must pay for imported raw materials and components. Shifts in the short-run aggregate supply curve are illustrated in the diagram below. SRAS 1, SRAS 2. A fall in aggregate supply caused by an increase in costs, less output can be supplied at each and every price level. SRAS 1, SRAS 3. A rise in aggregate supply caused by a fall in production costs, more output can be supplied at each and every price level. Long-run aggregate supply, LRAS. In the long run, the ability of an economy to produce goods and services to meet demand is based on the state of production technology and the availability and quality of factor inputs. A long-run production function for a country is often written as follows. Y asterisk T equals F, LT, night, mount. Y asterisk is a measure of potential output. T is the time period. L represents the quantity and ability of labor, input available. Night represents the available capital stock. Mount represents the availability of natural resources. LRAS is determined by the stock of a country's resources and by the productivity of factor inputs, labor, land, and capital. Changes in the technology also affect potential real national output. The vertical long-run aggregate supply curve, LRAS. LRAS is assumed to be independent of the price level and is drawn vertical. Neoclassical economists view the LRAS curve as being perfectly inelastic at a level of output where actual GDP has achieved its potential. There will be no unused labor in that all those who are available for employment at the prevailing wage rate will have work. In other words, a full employment level of national income has been reached. Keynesian economists disagree. They believe that an economy can settle at a level of output where there are many people still unemployed because of a lack of AD. They argue for active demand management using tools such as fiscal and monetary policy. Causes of shifts in the long-run aggregate supply curve. Any change in the economy that alters the natural rate of growth of output shifts LRAS. Improvements in productivity and efficiency or an increase in the stock of capital and labor resources cause the LRAS curve to shift out. This is shown in the diagram below. 1. Expanding the labor supply, for instance, by improving incentives. The UK government has also been encouraging an influx of migrants, which has added to the supply of labour, although it has created concerns about some of the social and political effects. There are some signs that the big influx of migrant workers into the UK is coming to an end. In the long term, many countries must find ways of overcoming the effects of an ageing population. 2. Increase the productivity of labor, For instance, by investment in training of the labor force and improvements in the quality of management of human resources. 3. Improve mobility of labor, to reduce certain types of unemployment, for example structural unemployment which is caused by occupational immobility of labor. If workers have better skills and increased flexibility, they will find it easier to get work when economic conditions change. Conversely, when unemployment remains high, the economy loses out on potential output and there is a waste of scarce economic resources. 4. Expanding the capital stock, that is, increase investment and research and development. 5. Increase business efficiency by promoting greater competition within markets. 6. Stimulate invention and innovation, this will hopefully promote lower production costs, and also improvements in the dynamic efficiency of markets. Innovation will create new goods and services, and encourage investment in new markets. For most advanced nations, it is indeed the growth of productivity that is critical to raising the long-term growth of real GDP. The following article refers to what is commonly known as the productivity gap between the UK and other leading industrialised economies. UK productivity still trails competitors. Gordon Brown's ambition of matching the growth in productivity of the world's big economies appears as elusive as ever after research by the Centre for Economic Performance showed that in terms of output per hour worked, Britain still lags behind Germany by 13%, the US by 18% and France by 20%. This means that, if we could reach French productivity levels, we could award ourselves 20% higher wages, or take a day off and still earn the same. Or we could spend the extra resources on schools and hospitals, according to the report's author. The lag in productivity was mainly due to deficits in innovation, skills, and management practices, as well as regulatory constraints in the retail sector, according to the report. The proportion of low-skilled people in the UK was 3 times higher than in the US and almost double the proportion in Germany and Japan. We saw in our chapter on AD that external events can cause shocks to demand for goods and services. Unpredictable shocks are even more frequent when it comes to aggregate supply. Aggregate supply shocks might occur when there is a sudden rise in oil prices or other essential inputs such as foodstuffs used in food processing industries. Foodstuffs are an example of intermediate products, items that are used up in manufacturing goods for consumers to buy. The invention and diffusion of a new production technology. A major change in the movement of migrant workers from one economy to another. The obvious recent example is what has happened to the world price of crude oil. A chart tracks the daily price for West Texas Intermediate, widely regarded as one of the benchmarks for international oil prices. Having been remarkably low in the early years of this decade, reaching as low as $17 a barrel in the autumn of 2001, prices spiked to over $140 in the summer of 2008. Before falling back even more quickly to a low of $2 at the start of 2009. Since then, crude oil prices have rebounded to over $75. Where will oil prices head next? For businesses that use oil as an essential input, the volatile crude oil price makes planning for the future very difficult. Food price inflation. The years 2007 and 2008 witnessed a huge rise in global food prices that gave rise to the term agflation. This was another external shock to economies around the world. One of the major reasons for rising food prices was the rising global price of wheat, with wheat prices rising 77% in 2007 alone. Many demand and supply factors were at work. Increase biofuel production. Concerns over oil prices, energy security and climate change have prompted governments to take a more proactive stance towards encouraging biofuels. This has led to increased demand for biofuel raw materials, such as wheat, soy, maize and palm oil, and increased competition for cropland. This led to a loss of resources targeted at the food chain and caused stocks of wheat to fall to a 30-year low. Declining stocks were also affected by the worst drought in Australia in 100 years, which halved the winter crop to 12 million tonnes in 2007. Desertification, global warming and other environmental shifts are decreasing the quantity of available farmland by over 7 million hectares a year, especially on the African continent. If global warming continues, water supplies could be disrupted, leading to falling food production. Deforestation, soil erosion and exhaustion are examples of the tragedy of the commons. Speculation by investors. Wheat and other prices of commodities soared as they found favor among investors who were struggling with poor returns in other markets. On the demand side, rising incomes in emerging market countries also contributed to higher food prices. Per capita income has been rising in many emerging market countries, and so too has demand for foodstuffs that have a strongly positive income elasticity of demand. An obvious example of this is the demand for meat products and a land-intensive product. Meat is more land-intensive because you need land for the livestock and crops to feed the livestock. Demographics, demand has grown because of an expanding population. The global population is expected to rise from 6 billion in 2000 to 9 billion by 2050. Currencies, the weakness of the US dollar increased the purchasing power of speculators and other traders who can buy increased volumes of foodstuffs with currencies other than the US dollar, driving market demand to even higher levels. 101B, 2A, 2B, 2C, 3A, 3B, 3C, 4A, 4B, 5A, 5B, 6A, 6B, 6C, 7A, 7B, 7C. Export controls. Some food exporters acted to limit their sales overseas so as to provide sufficient food for their own population. But whilst this helped to keep domestic prices in check, it reduced supply on world markets, forcing prices higher for food importers. For the UK economy, high food price inflation during 2007 and 2008 contributed to a surge in inflation. In the UK, it led in part to inflation overshooting the 2% inflation target. Inflation peaked at an annual rate of 5% in the autumn of 2008. Inflation also accelerated within the group of countries inside the euro area, and in many poorer developing nations. Shocks and long-run aggregate supply. The effects of supply-side shocks are normally to cause a shift in the SRAS curve. But there are also occasions when changes in production technologies or changes in the productivity of factors of production that were not expected feed through into a shift in the long-run aggregate supply curve. Natural disasters and political conflicts, including civil wars, can also have a significant effect on a country's productive potential and therefore affect the LRAS, although it is often difficult to measure accurately just how damaging these events have been.